Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and in part one of this week's episode, I'm going to review the Saturday games from J2 Match Day 6 and the Lavang Cup group match between Iwata and Sapporo. In part two, John Steele will take you through Sunday's league games and Urawa against Shimizu in the cup, and the league games on Wednesday, and he'll take a quick look ahead to Match Day 7. Then, Mike Innes will guide you through all the action from the fourth round of J3 in JTalk Short Corner. Let's begin our roundup at the NAC 5 Stadium, where Omiya Ardija welcomed unbeaten Oita Trinita. The hosts got off to a dream start when Oita keeper Konosuke Nishikawa tipped a low cross onto the toes of Takamitsu Tomiyama in the third minute. Oita had plenty of joy attacking down the left through Keita Takahata, and Masaki Yumiba, Naoki Nomura and Tsukasa Umesaki all went close, but it stayed 1-0 at the break. Immediately after the break, Omiya's Angelotti side-footed home after neat passing between Toshiki Ishikawa, Tomiyasu and Masaya Shibayama. That's Angelotti's third goal in consecutive games. Perhaps non-native Japanese-speaking players are worth the effort after all. 6 minutes later, it was 3-0 as unmarked Niki Urakami rose to head home a corner. Oita's Shin Nagasawa twice headed over in the final 20 minutes as Omiya maintained their excellent home record. Three wins from three with three clean sheets. Oita lose for the first time this season. Vivar and Nagasaki and Monterio Yamagata played an entertaining game down at the Transcosmos Stadium. Nagasaki were coming off the back of their first win, while Yamagata were on a run of three losses, having started the season with a pair of victories. Nagasaki striker Juanma Delgado had the first chance, but his attempt at a chip over Masaki Goto was saved. The visitors took the lead in the 36th minute, as confusion between two Nagasaki defenders allowed Thiago Alves to nip in, steal the ball, and smash it in. Nagasaki drew level in the 65th minute, with Juanma running onto a back heel by Takashi Sawada and seeing his shot deflected past Goto. In the 74th minute, Yamagata retook the lead, a Zane Isaka header from a Thiago Alves cross. But in the 82nd minute, Juanma again equalised, heading in a cross from Tsubasa Kasayanagi, and Juanma sent the home fans wild in the third minute of stoppage time, as he reacted quickest to a clever flick by Kasayanagi and shot through Goto's legs. 3-2 the final score, a 28-minute hat-trick from Juanma, allowing Nagasaki supporters to celebrate a home win for the first time since June. Yamagata's impressive start seemingly a distant memory now, that's four losses in a row for them. Up north to Sendai now for the visit of Zergen Kanazawa, who named an unchanged team from last week's dismantling of Rinofa Yamaguchi. Vigalta were without Kim Tae-hyun and Foginho as they looked to bounce back from last week's loss to Iwaki. But a blistering start by the visitors almost put the game out of reach early on. A foul by Sendai's Yuta Koide on Junior Kato in midfield gave away a free kick, which Keita Fujimura swung in the direction of Taiga Son. He headed it back across the area, and Sendai's Motohiko Nakajima should have cleared easily, but completely missed his kick. Ex-Sendai winger Takayoshi Ishihara took advantage with a fierce strike from 18 yards that burst through the palms of Sendai keeper Akihiro Hayashi. 1-0 to Kanazawa after 8 minutes. In the 17th minute, Kato and Ishihara combined well to send Masamichi Hayashi through, but his shot was deflected out for a corner, which turned into Kanazawa's second goal. Again, Son heading back across, and Hayashi standing alone and able to glance a header in. 5 minutes later, Yoshiki Matsushita carelessly gave the ball to Fujimura, and he lobbed the keeper from 25 yards to put Kanazawa 3-0 up with just 22 minutes, 35 seconds on the clock. A system change for Sendai from 3-5-2 to 4-4-2 helped them shore up the defence and keep hold of the ball, and they were given a lifeline 5 minutes before half-time when Ishihara impeded Yuto Uchida to concede a penalty, which Ryoma Kida scored. 3-1 at the break, and the second half was pretty much Sendai's attack versus Kanazawa's defence. And the defence held out somehow. On 53 minutes, a low Takumi Mase shot through a crowd was fumbled by Kanazawa keeper Yuto Shirai, but he managed to tip Yuto Goke's follow-up onto the post and then grab the loose ball. Then, on 81 minutes, a cross from the right was headed straight at Shirai by Hiroto Yamada. Kanazawa couldn't quite hold on completely though, as Kida got a second goal in stoppage time, a right-footed curler from the left side of the area that Shirai didn't get to, as another Sendai forward cleverly ran across to provide what in ice hockey is called a screen. It ended Sendai 2, Kanazawa 3. Consecutive losses for Sendai, consecutive wins for Kanazawa, and some of the memories of last season's double 4-1 hammering banished. Tokyo Verdy followed up last week's 5-star performance with another strong attacking showing against Ruasso Kumamoto. The Kumamoto keeper Ryuga Tashiro made a very good double save in the 8th minute to thwart Naoki Hayashi and Daiki Fukazawa, but the latter got the better of the keeper after a quarter of an hour, following up on an attempted clearing header and thumping in a shot from 12 yards. Rimu Imatsuoka could have equalised immediately, but put a free back post header wide. In the 73rd minute, Tomohiro Taira headed in a Byron Vasquez cross to put Verdy up by two, and Kohei Yamakoshi put the icing on the cake with Verdy's third in the 82nd minute. Another header, both of those goals starting from free kicks out on the left touchline. Verdy 3-0 winners then, and top of the table on Saturday night with 4 wins from 6, 11 goals scored and only 1 conceded. Another team going into Saturday with only 1 goal conceded was Blaublitz Akita, and that's how they ended it too, after a turgid 0-0 draw away to bottom club Tokushima Vortis. Both teams have been struggling in front of goal this year, and it showed here as shots on target were few and far between. Akita created some reasonable openings but kept heading over, while Tokushima were mostly restricted to ineffective and inaccurate shots from distance. Akita remain unbeaten with 3 wins and 3 draws, but only 4 goals scored. Tokushima still winless after 6 games. The last of Saturday's league matches was Jeff United Chiba against Fagiano Okayama. Jeff without a win since the opening day, Okayama suffered their first loss last week. New signing Lukao made his first start for the club and almost scored after 18 minutes when reacting to a rebound from a Yuri Bice shot, but his effort was cleared off the line. It was Hiro Komori who opened the scoring for Jeff in the 55th minute. He ran onto a long through pass down the middle and shot past the keeper from just inside the area, his fourth goal of the season. Toshiyuki Takagi had a chance to double the lead in the 74th minute when a long-range Tomoyamiki shot was spilled, but his effort from 6 yards missed the target. 2 minutes later, Okayama were level. A free kick from the left, half cleared by Jeff, but Okayama recycled play and with quick passing found Yoshitake Suzuki on the edge of the 6-yard box. His left-footed shot into the roof of the net gave the goalie no chance. Both teams had chances to win it, but neither could, and it ended 1-1. Jeff now 5 games without a win. For Okayama, that count is 2. Also in action were Jubilo Iwata, who faced J1 side Hokkaido Consadole Sapporo in the second Levan Cup group match. There were plenty of good chances in the first half of this game, but somehow it was 0-0 at halftime. Then 2 quick goals from Shunta Tanaka and Takuro Kaneko put Sapporo 2 up, with just less than an hour played. Iwata hit back through Kensuke Fujiwara and Daiki Ogawa, so it was 2-2 after 73 minutes. There was some controversy late on, as a Sapporo goal from a quickly taken corner was disallowed after much arguing from both sides, but they did get a winner in the 6th minute of stoppage time, Shido Izuma getting the final touch, so it finished 3-2 to Sapporo. That's Saturday's games rounded up. Next, John has Sunday's and Wednesday's games for you.
Thanks for that, James. Hi, everyone. John Steele here to bring you up to speed with the J2 action from Sunday and Wednesday last week. Before the J2 action, though, let's talk about one more game from the Levan Cup group stage, round 2. And on Sunday afternoon, it finished Urawa 1, Shimizu 1. Shimizu picking up a point from a rainy afternoon at Komaba Stadium, thanks to a superb equalising goal from Benjamin Kololi in the second half. Urawa were in front at the break thanks to a goal from Brian Linsen in the 38th minute. He volleyed home a left-wing cross from about 8 yards. Takuya Ogiwara got the assist. He, of course, a JTET favourite from his time on loan at Kyoto in J2. But Shimizu hit back with Kololi scoring a 25-yard drive, arrowing into the top corner on 71 minutes. After that goal, the game was wide open. Shimizu's Koya Kitagawa had a couple of chances to win it, but both were well saved by Urawa's keeper Ayumi Niikawa, another JTET favourite from his Mito days. And right at the death, veteran Shinzo Koraki should have handed Urawa the win, but he put far too much power on a chip shot when he had the chance to go clean through. The ball ended up going over the bar, and the chance was wasted. So full time at Komaba in the Levan Cup, it was Urawa 1, Shimizu 1. Shimizu atop of their Levan Cup group with 4 points from 2 games. They must be wishing that they could swap that with their J2 form, but more on that later. On to the Sunday action from J2 then, round 6, and there's probably a kitchen sink shortage in Iwaki this week, as the home side, Iwaki FC, threw absolutely everything at Machida in another rainy fixture but ended up losing 1-0. Match of the Day's goalkeeper, William Pope, was by far the busier of the two goalies. He had to make lots of saves in the first and second halves. Iwaki's best chance fell to Ryo Arita after about 1 hour of this game. He headed over from about 6 yards. He probably should have done a bit better with that chance. And even though Iwaki had kind of, you know, done all the hard running and created all the chances, it looked as though they were going to have to settle for just a point from this match. And then Machida did what good teams tend to do. They snatched a late winner, having not played very well. And in the 87th minute, Shunta Araki put in a cross that found Atsushi Kurokawa inside the penalty area. His initial header was well parried by Iwaki's goalie Toru Takagiwa, but Kurokawa was able to bundle the loose ball over the line on the follow-up for 1-0. And that's how it stayed. Iwaki 0, Machida 1, the full-time score. Machida showing that they can win without Mitch Duke, who of course is away with Australia on international duty. Machida are 3 points clear at the top of the table, and this was their fifth straight win, so they're there travelling extremely smoothly. Iwaki played very well, but were again very profligate in front of goal, missed loads of chances. But I suppose they won't be too disappointed. At the moment, they're in 14th in the table after 6 rounds. In the other Sunday matches, Fujieda ended their 3-game losing streak in some style away at Yamaguchi. The final score was Yamaguchi 0, Fujieda 3. Fujieda went ahead in just the 7th minute when Taiki Arai robbed a dithering Kensuke Sato near the halfway line. Arai advanced with the ball and put in a shot that Yamaguchi's keeper Kentaro Seki parried, but straight into the path of Ryo Watanabe, and he scored the chance with a diving header. Now, Fujieda had given a debut to the young goalkeeper Kai Chidi Kitamura for this match, and he was busy dealing with a flurry of corner kicks in the first half. After one of them, Yamaguchi did have the ball in the net, but the goal was disallowed for a push during the build-up, which was a bit harsh in my opinion. Moments later, Kitamura was able to make a good save at his near post to protect his team's 1-0 lead. And then it was 2-0 to Fujieda in the 32nd minute, with the home side dispossessed again. This time Watanabe was able to take the ball off centre-back Daisuke Matsumoto, go clean through and score with aplomb. Terrible defending again from Yamaguchi. In the second half, Watanabe tapped in what would have been his hat-trick goal, but it was correctly ruled out for offside. Meanwhile, at the other end, Yamaguchi had another goal disallowed from offside. This was a fine finish from a tight angle from Kota Kawano, and from the replays I saw, it wasn't really conclusive as to whether this was offside or not, but the decision went Fujieda's way. And the visitors then sealed the win with a breakaway goal 4 minutes from the end, with Ken Yamara sweeping in a low cross from the right. So a Yamaguchi 0, Fujieda 3. Great win for Fujieda. It lifts them to 8th in the table with 3 wins and 3 losses after 6 games. Ryo Watanabe, by the way, is the top scorer in J2 at the moment. He has 5 goals so far. For Yamaguchi, this was a third straight defeat, and James mentioned recently they had a terrible defence, and at the moment he's not wrong. They have the joint worst defence with 12 goals conceded so far this season. For James and Victor's sakes, we won't mention the name of the other team that's conceded 12 this season, but Yamaguchi look in rotten form defensively at the moment. And making it a hat-trick of away wins for J2 teams in Sunday action were Kofu. They ended up winning 4-2 away at a fairly hapless-looking Mito Hollyhock. The home side struck first, though, at K's Denki Stadium, taking the lead in the 32nd minute when Yuki Kusano played in Motaki Ohara for a fine finish on the edge of the penalty area. So 1-0 to Mito after 32 minutes, but Kofu were level just 7 minutes later when Peter Utaka teed up Nagi Matsumoto, who sent an absolute thunderbolt into the top corner from about 20 yards for 1-1. Before the break, Mito nearly retook the lead, but Kaito Umeda hit the base of the post with his shot after another nice pass from Kusano. So 1-1 at half time. Then right at the start of the second half, Utaka and Kazushi Mitsuhira produced some sparkling combination play, and suddenly Kofu were 3-1 ahead. In the 48th minute, Mitsuhira and Utaka combined brilliantly on a breakaway from the halfway line. And when Utaka's low cross was only cleared to the edge of the penalty area, Mitsuhira was able to drive in the loose ball to make it 2-1 to Kofu. Less than 60 seconds later, Mitsuhira's through ball found Utaka, who had time and space to drive the ball in off the near post for 3-1. I have to say, not the greatest defending from Mito collectively or indeed individually here. Tabinus Jefferson completely bamboozled by one ball from Mitsuhira. But 3-1 to Kofu. At this point, Mito did pull one back in the 77th minute, a towering Shimon Terunuma header from Ren Inoue's left wing cross. After that, Mito's keeper, Rui Yamaguchi, made a smart save from a header to keep his team in the game at 2-3. But Uteka then added his second and Kofu's fourth in the 91st minute. A mistake from Mito centre-back Takumi Kusumoto, I think, allowed Uteka to just kind of stroll clean through the centre of the defence and then easily place the ball past Yamaguchi. So Mito 2, Kofu 4 was the full-time score. Great win for Kofu. They're up to 5th and unbeaten since the opening day, with Uteka and Mitohiro just on fire and unplayable in this match. Mito yet to win a game this season, and perhaps slightly ominously, they're in the relegation zone after 6 rounds. Moving on to the midweek action then, on Wednesday the 29th of March, Iwata and Shimizu played their round 6 J2 games. They had to prioritise the Levan Cup on the weekend. So yes, at Yamaha, it was quite a straightforward home win for Iwata in the end, 2-0 against Tochigi. It was never really in much doubt after they took the lead in the 16th minute. A low cross from Shota Kaneko found Masaya Matsumoto inside the 6-yard box. He was able to stab the ball into the net from close range. For Tochigi, well, they came closest to a goal on the stroke of half-time when Yuki Nishiya headed a corner against the base of the post. Iwata made the point safe, though, when they doubled their lead in the 65th minute. Left-back Kou Matsubara put in a right-footed shot from the edge of the box that ended up looping into the back of the net via a deflection off a defender and the underside of the crossbar. After that, Tochigi substitute Ryo Nemoto thought he'd pulled a goal back for the visitors. He put the ball into the net, but his effort was ruled out correctly for offside. And then Iwata missed a host of chances to add extra goals. So it was a comfortable win in the end. Iwata 2, Tochigi 0. That sees Iwata 9th in the table with 2 wins, 2 draws and 2 defeats so far. Tochigi are struggling down in 20th. They have just 1 win so far this season. And possibly the story of the round was the other match on Wednesday night. Shimizu 1, Gunma 3. A stunning away win for Gunma that piles even more pressure on Shimizu boss Zé Ricardo. His side are yet to win a J2 game this season after drawing the first 5 in a row. This was their first defeat of the campaign. Gunma shocked the home fans by going ahead in the 25th minute when captain Hiroto Hatao headed in a free kick from the left-hand side from Ryo Sato. Hatao completely unmarked to plant his header over the line, despite the best efforts of Shuichi Gonda in the Shimizu goal. The lead only lasted for 4 minutes though. Gunma goalkeeper Masatoshi Kushibiki spilled a powerful low shot from Rayon Yamahara right onto the toes of Akira Disaro, and the bald eagle made it 1-1 from virtually on the goal line. 3 minutes after that though, Gunma went ahead again after some very neat footwork from Motoki Nagakura. He beautifully slipped past his defender and then crossed the ball for Ryo Sato to tap in the visitors' second. So 2-1 to Gunma at the break. Sato then provided another assist for Nagakura as Gunma went 3-1 ahead in the 53rd minute. Sato's right-wing cross was headed goalwards by Nagakura, took a big deflection off Shimizu centre-back Takeru Kishimoto and wrong-footed Gonda and went into the back of the net. So Gunma, astonishingly 3-1 ahead. They nearly added a fourth goal playing on the counter when Gonda had to make a smart low save from Kazuma Okamoto. Meanwhile, at the other end, Kushibiki took off to his right and did brilliantly to tip a header from Benjamin Kololi onto the face of the crossbar, and that was enough to preserve the 2-goal advantage, and it finished Shimizu 1, Gunma 3. Shimizu, as I mentioned, winless so far after 6 games played, and they've only scored 4 times in those 6 fixtures. The boos at full-time at Nihon Daira were very loud. So yeah, the home fans making it pretty clear what they think of what they've seen so far this season. Meanwhile, for Gunma, they're up in 10th place with 8 points so far from 6 matches. Fantastic, and I have to say, slightly unexpected start from them, but yeah, I'm sure they'll be delighted. That's all the on-pitch action from the weekend and midweek taken care of then. Just before I hand you over to Magic Mike Innes for all the J3 news, let's take a look at the Round 7 J2 fixtures coming up this weekend. There's quite an even split. I think we have 5 games coming up on Saturday, April the 1st, and 6 on Sunday the 2nd. In the Saturday matches, the action gets underway at 1 p.m. with Kofu hosting Shimizu. I mean, Kofu are in hot form at the moment, and Shimizu really starting to feel the pressure. It'd be very interesting to see what happens to Zé Ricardo if Shimizu lose this game. There are three games at 2 p.m. It's Sendai against Nagasaki, Akita hosting Yamaguchi. You know, Yamaguchi very poor defensive at the moment. You wouldn't bet against Akita, maybe extending their great form against them. Oita against Iwata, also at 2 p.m. on Saturday, looks like a really interesting game as well. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, Tokyo Verdy welcome Omiya to Ajinomoto Stadium. Then on Sunday, there's also a game at 1 p.m. It's Kumamoto against Tokushima. Now, Tokushima, another side, struggling at the wrong end of the table, so it'll be fascinating to see how they approach that match away at Kumamoto. The other five games in round seven are all at 2 p.m. on Sunday. So it's Yamagata hosting Mito, Tochigi against Gunma, which I normally make jokes about, but Gunma are playing pretty well at the moment, so I will refrain. Machida against Fujieda, that is going to be an interesting game as well, because on the one hand, Machida are top of the table. They were really fortunate to win the game against Iwaki on Sunday. Fujieda, we don't know which version will turn up. They seem to either win or lose big so far this season. It's also Zweigen Kanazawa at home to Jeff Chiba at 2 p.m. on Sunday. And the last game on the slate is Okayama at home to Iwaki. And just finally to mention as well, next midweek on Wednesday, April the 5th, the group stage of the Levan Cup keeps on going. And our two J2 representatives will be in action at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Iwata will host Tosu at Yamaha, whereas Shimizu are on the road and they come to Kanagawa to face Shonan Bellmare. All right, I think that's just about all the time I have to round things up in J2. So without further ado, after a shorter hit of music, all the J3 news is coming up after a pretty interesting round of action in the third tier. It's J-Talk Short Corner with Mike Innes. Please stay tuned. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello everyone and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on fixtures in Round 4 of the J3 season, as well as previewing the Round 5 matches coming up this weekend. There was just the one game on Saturday the 25th of March. Iwate Gruja Morioka looking to continue their good start to the campaign in their first home match of 2023. The visitors were Azul Claro Numazu, whose former Iwate keeper Hiromu Musha had a busy time in the first half, parrying a well-struck drive by Masashi Wada, then making a double save from Wada's shot and a challenge by Tsubasa Yuge. Midway through the second half, though, the visitors nearly broke the deadlock when Naoki Sato headed against the post with homekeeper Kenta Tanno, an onlooker. And in the 79th minute, Numazu's impressive loanee from Tokyo Verdy, Kyota Mochi, surged past Kairi Shinbo and crossed for young forward Takumi Tsukui to finish from 6 yards. What would have been a fine victory slipped from Azul Claro's grasp on 87 minutes when Takuya Sugai brought down Atsutaka Nakamura in the penalty area and Cristiano converted his second spot kick in 2 games. Even then, moments later, Mochi threaded an exquisite pass through the home back line, which Numazu substitute Noah Kenshin Brown took beyond Tanno, only to hit the outside of the post with his shot. Final score, Iwate 1, Numazu 1. No doubt, Yoshika Matsubara and Gruja will regard this as 2 points dropped, but they didn't earn the right to win. The headline about Azul Claro so far is they may not be the best, but Masashi Nakayama has them set up to compete. Then on Sunday the 26th, the top two teams in the standings had what I described in last week's pod as winnable home games. J3 being J3, of course, neither of them won. Matsumoto Yamagawa held to a draw by Tegevajano Miyazaki, going ahead in the 65th minute when a long ball reached Ren Komatsu, whose scrambled pass should have been cut out by Kenta Okuma, but nevertheless fed Yusuke Kikui, who fired an angled shot through the legs of Rai Shimizu. If you're looking for one to watch this season, you could do worse than Tege Vajano's 18-year-old forward Harumi Minamino, who converted a low cross from Ryohei Yamazaki for the equaliser on 76 minutes. 2 goals in 2 games now for the Gamba Osaka loanee. The nearest Yamaga came to a winner was when Komatsu's header brought a spectacular diving save from Shimizu with 12 minutes left. Final score though, Matsumoto 1, Miyazaki 1. Yamaga lacking the focus and penetration to take all 3 points. Tege Vajano starting to take shape, but Minamino aside, they do lack a route to goal. A draw for Matsumoto meant FC Ryukyu had an on-a-plate opportunity to go clear at the top of the table, but they managed to lose to the previously pointless Fukushima United, and Ryukyu coach Kazuki Kuranuki can have no complaints about the result. His side offered little threat until the closing stages when Koki Kiyotake made his first appearance of the season as a substitute. Kiyotake's 90th minute shot against the post was the home team's best effort, while Fukushima scored the only goal of the game on 34 minutes when Shoki Nagano played a low ball into the Ryukyu area. Panic ensued in the home defence. Keiji Kageyama missed a chance to clear, and the loose ball came to Shota Kobayashi, whose shot made it past both Junta Taguchi and Yusuke Muta on the line. Final score, Ryukyu 0, Fukushima 1. The home side losing for the first time this season and tumbling out of the top two as a result. While the combination of Nagano and Livewire rookie Ryo Shiohama illuminated the game for Fukushima. Meanwhile at Giramatsukita Kyushu, FC Imabari claimed the kind of last-gasp away win often associated with the most successful sides. For Giravants, Yuki Okada went close on several occasions. For the visitors, Kohei Tomita hit the woodwork with a header, but in the 90th minute, substitute Wakaba Shimoguchi got on the end of Taisei Takase's looping cross, headed it back across goal and inside the post. Final score, Kita Kyushu 0, Imabari 1. It's not clicking yet for Kazuaki Tasaka and his Giravants team, although their early season fixture list is unkind. Niki Takagi's Imabari are now, alongside Matsumoto, one of only 2 unbeaten teams in the division. Katare Toyama and AC Nagano Parseiro squared off at the Toyama Prefectural Sports Park, a match that contributed to both sides developing reputation for chaos energy football. Toyama's ex-Nagano midfielder Hiroyuki Tsubokawa provided an assist for the opener midway through the first half, swinging in a free kick that Ryuya Ohata glanced in at the near post. The game lurched off in a different direction soon enough, with 3 goals early in the second period. Parseiro drew level by means of Hiroki Yamamoto's header from a cross by Yuma Funabashi, Katare defender Ryusei Shimodo not covering himself in glory here, and followed that with 2 goals of the highest quality. Yamamoto and Kohei Shin's 1-2 was the highlight of a delicious counter-attack down the right, which ended in Yamamoto crossing for Funabashi to finish at the far post for 2-1. And that became 3-1 via Yuta Sato's 25-yard screamer after the home defence had only half-cleared Masaki Miyasaka's lofted free kick. Nagano had a golden chance to go 4-1 ahead in the 70th minute when Naoki Sanda was brought down in the area by Junya Imase, only for Takuya Akiyama to blast his penalty kick way over the bar. But this is the same Nagano who last week conceded 3 at home to Nara Club. The alarm bells therefore started to ring when Toyama pulled a goal back with 7 minutes remaining. Arthur Silva powering home a header after excellent work by Musashi Oyama. And Katare equalised in the 87th minute. Tsubokawa's ball into the Paseiro box, fluffed by both Akiyama and Yasufumi Nishimura, enabling Arthur Silva to touch it for another former Nagano player, Shunta Takahashi, to score from close range. Final score, Toyama 3, Nagano 3. Hugely enjoyable for the neutral, but this cannot be what either coach wants. Katare were forced to claw their way back into it. Paseiro's defensive plans in tatters after conceding 6 in 2 games. The key question ahead of Gainare Tottori against Kamatamari Sanuki was, could Sanuki keep Tottori out and exploit the inevitable frailties of the Gainare defence? In the first half, the answer looked like it might turn out to be yes, the closest thing to a Tottori goal coming 7 minutes before the break, when their ex-Kamatamari forward Kentaro Shigematsu saw his header cleared off the line by Yudai Okuda. 8 minutes into the second period, though, the Sanuki defence was opened up by some quick triangles from Makoto Fukoin, Hiroto Sese and Yu Okubo, the ball then coming to Shigematsu, who dinked it over Takuya Takahashi to score against one of his old clubs for the second straight week. Just before the hour, Shigematsu strayed offside, which meant Hideyatsu Ozawa's 15-yard shot was disallowed. But soon afterwards, Gainare did extend their lead. A long ball down the right nodded on by Shigematsu for Okubo, who outfought Takumi Komatsu and slid it past Takahashi from 15 yards. But 2-0 to Tottori is rarely just 2-0 to Tottori. And in the 88th minute, Okuda met an outswinging corner by Nao Eguchi with a bullet header to pull one back for Sanuki. And deep into injury time, sure as noodles is noodles, Gainare did not learn their lesson. Another Eguchi corner, another tremendous Okuda header in. Final score, Tottori 2, Sanuki 2. Great fun seemingly guaranteed at Gainare games this season, although perhaps not always for their supporters. Kamatamare, like Azul Claro, a much more resilient proposition than in recent years. In last week's pod, I suggested Vanrari Hachinohe may be FC Gifu's bogey team, and that was certainly how the game between the two transpired. Gifu dominating in terms of possession and shots, Hachinohe holding out to grab the only goal of the game. That came on 37 minutes, Vanrari keeper Shogo Onishi spotting an opportunity to release with a long goal kick left wing-back Daisuke Inazumi, who, with the Gifu backline completely absent, advanced on Takuya Matsumoto's goal and hammered it into the roof of the net. Onishi continued his excellent start to the season with saves from Ryo Kubota and Kosuke Fujioka, remember him, and Gifu also hit the bar through Charles Unduka and Ayumu Matsumoto. Final score though, Hachinohe 1, Gifu 0, Vanrare in the top half of the table with the joint best defence in the division. Gifu will console themselves that on another day, they could have scored 4. J-Talk Extra Time. Pre-season promotion favourites Kagoshima United haven't started the season in convincing style, and in response, coach Naoto Otake has shown he's not afraid to change things around. For the game at home to SC Sagamihana, last season's top scorer Corky Arita, yet to find the net in 2023, was on the bench with Shunsuke Yamamoto starting up front. Yamamoto almost got off to a fantastic start when he sent a fizzing shot just wide in the 10th minute, and 2 minutes later, the 24-year-old clipped a delicate effort onto the bar. Yamamoto did get an assist for the opening goal on 33 minutes, laying it off for veteran Junki Goryeo, whose shot from the edge of the area was somehow allowed to slip over the line by Sagamihara keeper Akihiko Takeshige. At the other end, Issei Oichi made a brilliant point-blank save to keep out Takumu Fujinuma's header early in the second half. And in the 56th minute, Kagoshima went 2-up, Goryeo bursting into the area, finding space and striking a low drive inside the far post. But the Smoking Volcanoes haven't yet kept a clean sheet this season, and with 6 minutes left, the visitors managed a consolation, Fujinuma picking up Ryo Yoshitake's through pass and setting up substitute Tsubasa Ando for a tap-in. Final score, Kagoshima 2, Sagamihara 1. The most comfortable game of the season so far for Naoto Otake. Kazuyuki Toda's Sagamihara made to pay for an individual error. To finish this week with a look at the J-League newcomers FC Osaka and Nana Club. Of the two, it's Nana who have adapted to J3 life more easily, although Julian Marin Basalo's team were held at home by bottom side YSCC Yokohama. It was a fine piece of distribution by Nana keeper Arnau that led to the opening goal, his kick setting Tatsuma Sakai racing down the right wing from where he crossed for ex-YSCC striker Hayato Asakawa to net his third of the season at the far post. The visitors, however, turned things around by scoring twice in the last 4 minutes of the opening period. The equaliser, a Yusei Kayanuma penalty awarded for Masataka Kani's handball. And 3 minutes later, Kayanuma put YSCC in front as the home side struggled to clear an Atsushi Kikutani set piece. Shuntaro Koga laid it off for the forward to curl in a speculative shot from the edge of the box. Haruki Oshima almost made it 3-1 early in the second half, the rookie's header bringing a stunning save out of Arnau. But the home side tied things up just after the hour. A corner from Kohei Teramura, headed on at the near post by Sotaro Yamamoto, deflected over the line by YSCC's Takahiro Nakazato. Final score, Nana 2, YSCC 2. Nana's Asakawa clearly right at home back in J3 after having dropped down to play in the JFL. A first point of the season for YSCC. Two very welcome goals for new signing Kayanuma. And finally, FC Osaka went down to a narrow loss in their game at Ehime FC. It was the home side who went in front on 23 minutes. A pinpoint long kick by keeper Kenta Tokushige, controlled by Shunsuke Motegi, who delivered a beautiful cross by Riki Matsuda to head in. The Mighty Mikan's lead lasted 12 minutes, Osaka drawing level when left-back Shunsuke Tachino sent over across to the far post. Takumi Shimada nodded it back across goal, and Daigo Furukawa bullied his way past Kei Oshiro to head home. But the game was lost for the away side 17 minutes from time, when Ehime's Yutaka Soneda won possession via a high press, exchanged passes with Kazuki Sota, and sent an angled shot inside the far post from 15 yards. Ehime looked in control from there on in, the impressive Motegi hitting the post after a typically direct run. Final score, Ehime 2, FC Osaka 1. Ehime joined the long list of clubs who could be contenders if they can show some consistency. Osaka's defensive strategy needs a rethink if they're to climb the table. J-Talk Extra Time. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round four. The top six are Matsumoto and Imabari have 8 points. Then Iwate, Tottori, Toyama and Kagoshima all have 7. And Kagoshima are dead level with Ryukyu. At the other end of the table, the bottom six are, from 15th downwards, Numazu and Miyazaki have 4 points. Sagamihara, Fukushima and FC Osaka have 3. Bottom of the pile with 1, YSCC. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the round 5 fixtures over the weekend, when there are 2 games on Saturday the 1st of April. Free scoring and pretty free conceding, Toyama go to FC Osaka. And Ryukyu face a tough trip to Gifu. Then on Sunday the 2nd, the game of the round is 1st against 4th, Matsumoto against Tottori. Imabari have a home match against Nara. For Iwate, there's a Tohoku derby in prospect at Fukushima. Can Seneki maintain their 100% home record? They host Kagoshima. With wins in their last 2 outings, Hachinohe can look forward to a home game with Kitakyushu. Fascinating encounter in prospect at Miyazaki, where the visitors are another team on the up, Ehime. Can Nagano notch their first win since the opening day? They play host to YSCC. And finally, 2 teams in the bottom 6 meet at Sagamihara, where the visitors are Numazu. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.